Reading from Luke 18:1-8. Then he spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was a certain city of judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Nor there was a widow in the city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me and my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on earth?
It's good to be here this morning as we come to study another portion of what God's Word has to say for us in order for our lives to be enhanced, in order for them to be better. We want to continue our level best to study what God's Word has to say. I was going to be looking at John chapter 8 on this morning. I've been wanting to preach that for a few weeks now, but other studies have kind of pushed that to the side. We're going to be looking at Luke 18, and our focal point will be verse number 8. Our focal point will be verse number 8. We're going to look at this particular verse, and then we're going to read those passages one more time for emphasis' sake. But notice the focal point here in verse number 8. He says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? That's our subject on this morning. Will the Son of Man really find faith on the earth? If you look at verse number 1, you'll see something interesting about this parable that Jesus is about to talk about. This is the crux of it right here. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. As we are studying these 8 verses, keep that in mind, because that's the key. The reason why I want us to keep that in mind is because Jesus is going to be giving a parable, throwing something alongside of, that we may understand what is being taught. Notice what he goes on to say in this parable. There was a certain city, or there was in a certain city, a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city. She came to him saying, get justice for me for my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? We have been talking about the sayings of Jesus all summer. There are many more that we're going to peer into before it's all said and done in the month of August. But this one here captured my attention a few days ago. And the reason why is because when we consider some things that Jesus or the Father is looking for, One of those things that the Father is looking for is faith. In Luke chapter 7 and verse number 9, y'all give me a couple of minutes to lay this foundation. There was a centurion. A centurion is a captain over 100 soldiers. His servant was ill, even to the point of death. He knew that Jesus was in town. He comes to Jesus saying, I need you to heal my servant. And Jesus said, I will come with you. He said, no. He said, just speak and my servant will be healed. That's after all of the dialogue that they had. You go back and you read the rest of that. You'll find it interesting that this man had great respect for authority. He saw Jesus as one having authority. And Jesus looked at Israel, if you will, and he said, I have not found such great faith. No, not even in Israel. He saw more faith in this centurion, this one who was outside of the camp, if you will, than he did his own people. It's interesting that when Jesus was upon the face of the earth, he found faith. And when God sends Jesus back, he'll be looking for the same thing. The question is this. What is going to happen in the interim? What is going to happen in our lives? Will God find faith when he sends his son Jesus Christ on that great and noble day in us? I believe this is a great question. A question that is worthy of our attention and consideration. But before we go any further into this particular text, I want us to define some things according to the scriptures. The Bible teaches us in Romans 10 and verse number 17 that faith cometh by hearing. In Hebrews 11 and verse number 1, faith is the evidence of things not seen. The very fact that you have that long list of individuals in Hebrews chapter 11, like Abraham and Noah and Jephthah and Samson and Gideon, that their lifestyle was the evidence that they believed God. And the question we have to ask ourselves is this. Will our lifestyle show God that we believe him and have not fainted? That's the key right there. We understand that if we're going to live our lives, that it must be based upon what God has said and not what God has not said. When we consider what God has said, this is why Romans 14:23, anything that is not of faith is sin. I need us to consider that because sometimes, because of the ways of the world and the philosophies of men, we divorce ourselves, 1 Corinthians 2:9 through 16, from what thus saith the Lord. So here we find Jesus, and he brings up this unjust judge. And this unjust judge is approached by this widow, and apparently, when you consider the original language, she constantly comes to him, and he acknowledges that, and he says to her, I need to do something with this situation and this woman, lest she weary me. Just drives me tired. The idea of, and most of us as parents who have had small children understand when a child keeps coming up to you, mom, dad, all right, go do it, you're making me tired. We understand that. Same thing right here. But this woman wanted her adversary to be dealt with. Friends, the Bible is right that God will avenge our adversaries, 2 Corinthians 10 and verse number 6, when our obedience is fulfilled. God does not want us, Romans 12 and verse number 19, avenging ourselves. God wants us to be a people, Revelation chapter 6 and verse number 10, who understand that God is going to take care of his business, even under the altar. There were those in Romans chapter 6 and verse number 10 who was pleading with the Father who was on the throne, saying that when will you avenge the blood of those who are walking or living according to the testimony of God and the Word of God? When we think about our lives, it's the same way. Friends, God will bring forth justice. It is not the Christian's job to do that themselves. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, let's explore this idea before we go into more of this parable. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 3 through 10, we notice that Paul, as he is talking to the Thessalonian brethren, this is the second letter unto them, and he has something to say about the situation of judgment. God will always take vengeance on those who deal with his people in an ungodly way. Starting at verse number 3, but we are bound to give thanks always to you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God, that your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. You're going through a lot. Hang in there. Which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, in order that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffered, since it is a righteous thing, listen to this, friends, with God to repay them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flame and fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Stop. Friends, sometimes as the people of God, we want to be avenged right now. But friends, as the people of God, our responsibility is to remain focused upon Jesus and his work, to continue to live out our lives, thus bolstering up our faith that when Jesus Christ comes back, he'll find faith in us. We have to build our faith up. But notice what he goes on to say, verse 9. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power when he comes in that day of judgment, friends, to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe. Why? Because our testimony among you was believed. Friends, I don't know about you, but I'm thankful to hear verses like that. They're encouraging that if I stay focused, if I do not faint, if I stay prayerful, then I will be working out my salvation with fear and with trembling. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 12. But I want us to take notice of something. Because God will make all rights or all wrongs right. And you can rest assured on that. Sometimes as the people of God, we faint. We grow tired. We grow weary because we don't think that things are going our way long enough. Or we see evil and it's prevailing around us. Whether it is in the church or outside of the church, we begin to grow weary. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 9, the Bible there teaches us not to grow weary in well-doing. Do what is right, because it's right to do what's right. And the faith teaches us that. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. There the Bible will teach us very clearly that we ought to be examples. Listen to this, friends. We ought to be good examples of what? Of works of faith, labors of love, and patience of hope. Notice what your Bible says. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without stopping. Notice your work of faith, your labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, that your election by God. Now, friends, I don't know about you, but we need to hear that. We need to hear that God sees those things, and we ought to see those things also in others. But remember the parable of the unjust judge. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 10. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 10, we ought to read this and be greatly encouraged. And it ought to show us that our God is better than any judge on the face of the earth. In Hebrews chapter 6, let's start at verse number 9 and let's read also verse number 10. But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you, yea, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you minister to the saints and do minister. Sometimes we think as the people of God that God doesn't see our good. Proverbs 15 and verse number 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and the evil. God sees the good that we do as well. God just doesn't see the bad that we do. We need to recognize that God sees the good that we do as well. I believe that sometimes our attitudes are so negative that we don't have the 1 Corinthians 13 mentality of seeking the best interests of others. It's because we think that God only sees the bad that we do. But then you got those on the other side that God only sees the good that we do. No, God is a balanced God. He sees it all. He sees all of it. So the question we have to ask ourselves is this: when the Lord returns, will he find us full of faith? Will he find us faithful, as we see right here in this question in Luke chapter 18? Notice verse 8 again. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, it's as if Jesus changes the whole idea, but he does it. But he says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Will he find men and women who trust God holistically, who trust his word, who trust his ideas, who trust his precepts, who trust his concepts? Do we trust everything that God has said in his word? If not, why not? Will he find a demonstration of our faith? Will our faith be so evident to Almighty God that he sees us living it out? Will we be found lacking or out of duty when it comes to God's will and God's way? Let me ask this. This is not part of the lesson. This is free. Are you in duty or out of duty right now? That's a good question. I'm not talking about in duty, out of duty as it relates to everything else but spirituality. I'm talking about spirituality. Are you in duty or out of duty? Because when Jesus Christ came the first time, he came and he was looking for something. I have not found such great faith, no, not even in Israel. And when Jesus comes back, he's going to be looking for the same thing. Which means that faith is the undergirding. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and look at verse number 13. I was going to wait for this, but since my mind got kind of excited, I might as well go with it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and I need time to explore this even more, because friends, when you consider 1 Corinthians 13 and verse number 13, I'll go on record with this right now, that these three things that we see in this particular verse is the undergirding of the New Testament. Faith, hope, and love. You remove any of those, you have nothing. But if you have all three of them, friends, your spirituality is skyrocketing. Your spirituality is going to gird you up, and your spirituality is going to be the evidence that God lives in you. Notice, now abide faith, Hebrews 11, 1. Hope, Romans 8, 24 and 25. These three. And love, I'm sorry about that, 1 John 4 and verse number 8. But these three, the greatest of these is what? Is love. Literally, if we could put it this way, according to 1 Peter 1, verses 23 through 25, it is the love that matures the individual. Question. Jesus said, do you love me? Keep my commandments. You are my friend if you do whatsoever I say. Question. Will Jesus, when he comes back, find faith in you? Will he find you strengthened by his word, strengthened by the brethren, strengthened in the Lord? Jesus is going to be looking for something when he comes back. I truly believe the very fact that you're here, hopefully, you want to be found faithful when he comes back. Number one, as a congregation, what should we be doing in the meantime? Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. As a congregation, hopefully the Lord, when he comes back, will find a congregation that's working hard and standing as one man. One thing I love about the Godhead, 1 John 5, verse 7, they're one. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, one. We think about the responsibility of leadership in the church, and God put those offices in the church, verse number 11, for a reason. Look at verse 12. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the building up of the church of Christ. Notice the time word in verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith. Question, Ephesians 4, verse number 1. Are we doing our level best to walk worthy of the calling? Are we doing our level best to make sure that we're endeavoring to keep the unity of the faith, unity of the spirit in the bond of peace? Are we doing our best to do that? Because we have to be one man. And this idea and mentality starts with the Bible. It starts with God. When Jesus Christ comes back, will he find us doing our best to be a people who are coming to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God? Notice, to a perfect man, a complete man, a mature man, a whole man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of teaching. Question, how often are you studying the faith, that your faith can be substantiated in the faith? How often are you studying subjects like marriage, divorce, and remarriage if you're wanting to get married? How often are you studying about the one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, the one church? How often are you studying those things that you can stay strong in the Lord and the power of his might? How much are you studying about the fruit of the Spirit so you can have the right attitude of love and joy and peace and long-suffering and goodness and gentleness and meekness? Against such there is no law. How much are you studying those things? Friends, if we're going to be that one man, all of us have to be studying. All of us have to be reading. All of us have to be applying it to our lives, that we can be the people of God and stand as one man. Just like in the book of Nehemiah, all of them stood as one man as they was working on that wall, a hammer in one hand and a sword in the other hand, looking forward for the adversary, but reminding one another, encouraging one another, building up one another. Why? Because they had a wall to build. We got a wall to build. We're one man. Time is out for the local congregation. Not just talking about us, but local congregations speaking different things. If anything, we need to speak the same thing and be of one mind and one judgment. One man. And the reason why we ought to be one man, because when Jesus Christ comes back one day, he's going to be looking for something. Question, are we going to be inside of that which he's looking for? Or are we going to be engulfed in that which he is looking for? Jesus, what are you looking for? I'm looking for confidence and trust and faith in who I am and in my teaching. Friends, this is powerful, and that parable in Luke 18 is more powerful than I ever gave it credit for. He's looking for something. It's amazing when we have our minds made up to look for something online, we search diligently until we find it. When we're looking for that right person, we search diligently, at least some of us, until we find him or her. Sometimes we take the first thing and knock on our door. Some people do the same thing when it comes to the religion. Just because you're going through some hard times and someone shows you love doesn't mean that that's the love of God. Same thing when it comes to a spouse. Same thing when it comes to the Word of God being one man. And God wants us to be one man. Thus, our teaching, Brother Pope Joy, is doctrinal. Our practice is practical. Our goal is attainable. Why? Because we want to be ready when the Lord comes back. If our doctrine is not doctrinal, if our practice is not practical, and if our goals are not attainable, shut the doors, let's leave, and let's go ahead and go on the hill, because that's where we're going. But because our doctrine is doctrinal, Titus 2 verse 1, and our practice is practical, James 1, 21 through 26, and our goals are sure enough attainable because God gave them to us, Philippians 4 verse number 13, when he comes back, we have confidence, we'll hear, well done. Well done. So we build up one another through spending time with one another, through encouraging words, devotionals. You know, the sisters came together yesterday to put some things together for a shower that's going to take place today. And Evelyn came home and said that Sister Shirtle came. She was just so encouraged by the number that showed up. And I was thinking about that. I said, that's wonderful. It's wonderful. When a sister can be encouraged. Maybe at one time she was probably the only one back there, but now she got plenty of help. That's encouraging. And they're all who showed up. Thank you for encouraging the sister to work out her salvation, and you helped them work yours out too. Camps, it's the same way. That when we take time out of our busy schedule, friends, we are one man teaching the same doctrine, encouraging young people. Hopefully it'll take root. Hopefully they'll take it serious. And the teachings that they're getting, that when they graduate, they don't go out and act a fool, having sex and getting pregnant and getting drunk and doing things that are all sinful. No, stay in the word and stay in the truth. One man. When Jesus comes back, will he find faith? If not, why not? We need to be a people of one mind, Philippians 2, 1 through 5, esteeming others better than self. It's not about me. It's always about someone else. Jesus Christ, when he suffered, bled, and died, did it for another man, preached on another man's boat, died on another man's cross, laid in another man's tomb, resurrected for another man's justification, and now he's interceding and mediating for another man. That's my Lord. It's your Lord. Question. What will Jesus find when he comes back? Hopefully he'll find faith. Because we all stand on those things that remain. And that's faith, hope, and love. Number two. What should we be doing as individuals in the meantime? Number one, we ought to be keeping. Y'all listen to this closely. It doesn't sound right, but it's 100% right. We need to keep an attitude of denial. Luke 9:23, if any man come after me, let him deny himself. Every time I think more highly than I ought to, I'm not denying myself. Friends, think about this. When Jesus Christ comes back, he is looking for people who have actively, who have developed, who are intentional in self-denial. That's the only way you can look like Christ. That's the only way you can be like Christ. That's the only way you can think like Christ. Because any time that I think of myself more highly, then I'm not keeping my eyes on Jesus and his teachings, Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. So, what should I be doing in the meantime? I need to be studying and applying the Word of God to the end result. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 1. I wish I had time to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 7, verse 1. But I'm going to leave you with that. I just gave you a hint. Write that down. Go back to it. 2 Corinthians 7, verse number 1, notice what the Bible there says. Therefore, having these promises, what promises? God will be our Father. We will be His sons and daughters. Friends, that's powerful. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness, not 99% of the filthiness, not 99.9% of the filthiness of the flesh, but all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Notice what God is teaching us through the Apostle Paul, that we need to be a people who are cleansing ourselves, flesh and spirit, mind and body. Why? Because God wants to find faith when He sends His Son back. In the what? Notice, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Friends, it's not enough of this being preached, even amongst our people. Compromise. We shouldn't compromise. When Jesus Christ comes back, He's looking for something. Question, will we give Him what He's looking for? It's amazing when we put in an application for anything that we desire. We put down the information that the person or people or company is looking for. And if we don't have those credentials, okay, let me give myself 2 years to go and get those credentials because I want to give these people what they're looking for. God gives us a lifetime to add to our credentials of holiness, so when He brings, He sends His Son back, we'll give Him exactly what He's looking for. That's good preaching right there. That's my own amen corner right there. Well, that's good preaching right there. Question. Are you willing to go to school to give God what He's looking for? What school? This school. This school right here. Friends, God has given us an open book test. You know what He's saying? You shouldn't fail it. I've given you my word. Only thing I need you to do is apply it to your life, discipline yourself, and be an individual. Listen to this. Who always strives to be his brother's keeper, who contributes, meaning that he gets or she gets involved, and if he or she is involved, they're getting more involved with the congregation and the works of the congregation. Question, are you involved with the works here? Do you want to be involved? The work that you're doing now, can you do more? It's amazing that God wants us to be doing the work. But as Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mountainside, when a soldier asks you to go 1 mile, go with him twain. Go 2. Do more. Always do more. We ought to be teaching our children at home. Do more. When you take the trash out, put a trash bag back in the trash can. Do more than just take the trash out. When you take the trash out, the trash that spills over on the side, pick that up too and take that outside. Do more. Just because your parents ask you to clean your room, if you go in the bathroom, you find towels on the bathroom floor, pick the towels up. Do more. But those are not my chores, Dad. Do it anyway. This is your house too. That's good teaching right there. Parents, teach your children to work. At camp this past week, there were some boys that didn't even know how to swing a broom. Didn't even know how to swing a mop. I'm like, boy, what are you learning at home? One day you're going to be the husband of some man's daughter. You better learn how to swing a broom. Learn how to swing a mop. Well, that's not my job as a man. Your wife might have a baby, Victor. Please listen to me. She has that baby. She can't be swinging a broom after she gets through having that baby. You're going to have to sweep a little bit. You got to help out a little bit. That's okay. And vice versa. It's all right for men to do extra. Even in the church, we need to do extra by being spiritually minded. When we come together and we fellowship, there's nothing wrong with talking about cars and talking about hunting and talking about guns and talking about flowers and talking about cooking. But we ought to be talking about the Word of God. Friends, as individuals, we have a responsibility. Last but not least, as a family, husbands, love and honor your wives. When Jesus comes back, will He find us doing that? Will He find wives respecting their husbands. Keep the fire in your relationship. I'm not saying fire off on her. Keep the fire in it. What do we mean? Use respectful words. Respect one another. Protect one another. Cherish one another. Ephesians 5. Bible is right. Oh, when Jesus Christ comes back, he's not just looking for those who believe in the one Lord, one faith, one baptism, but he's looking for those who adhere to the whole counsel of God. Bible is right. Question. What will Jesus find when he comes back? Wives, take care of your family, spiritually, emotionally, physically. Stay close to home. Teach your children the fear of the Lord, Proverbs 1, verse 7. Proverbs 28, verse number 14. I wish I had time to explore those. I do. Let's do that. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 7. I might as well get you while I got you because you might not be back tonight. In Proverbs 1 and verse number 7, notice what your Bible says. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Notice what he says. It's the beginning of knowledge. That's where it starts, the fear of the Lord. It starts with the beginning of knowledge. If I don't know, I can't fear. If I don't know God, I can't reverence him. But then notice Proverbs 28 and verse 14. In Proverbs 28 and verse number 14, notice what your Bible there says. It's interesting that God has always had a maturation process. He has never wanted individuals to stay on milk, but to mature to meet Hebrews chapter 6. In Proverbs 28 and verse number 14, notice what your Bible says. Happy is the man who is always reverent. New King James Version. The King James says, feareth always. It's interesting. God wants us to be a people who starts with fear, who starts with knowledge, but he grows as she grows as she continues. He continues to respect God. You know what this also teaches? That you can begin respecting God and lose your way. Will Jesus find faith when he returns? Children, respect and honor. Obey, learn from the older. To ensure your days by the way of moral thinking and living. I don't know about you, friends, but we live in a very corrupt world. About 5 years ago, I was talking to Brother Reed, Dennis Reed, and he said something. And I didn't fully understand it then, but I understand it fully now. He said, Mike, it's a cruel, ugly world out here. I guess I didn't see it that much. I see it now, brother. He's right. It's a cruel world out here, friends. When I was a kid, we used to play marbles. And when we played marbles, we had the small marbles, and we had those big boulders. Well, you only pulled out your boulders because only two or three came in the big little pouch. You only pulled out your boulders if you knew you could win some marbles. Every now and then, you have someone, they'll bring out their boulder, and they only have like two or three marbles on the ground. You didn't do that. You waited until it was like about seven or eight, maybe 10 marbles on the ground, because we played keepsies. Y'all remember that? You used to play keepsies. You take that big old boulder out, you can only take out one. And everything it hit, you got to keep. The devil, just like that. He plays keepsies. He like to keep our faith so he can destroy it. Friends, when Jesus comes back, he's looking for faith. Do you have it? Do you have faith? Because the devil plays keepsies. But you're the one that makes the decision if he keeps your soul or not. There's another one that plays keepsies too. Called God. He plays keepsies too. His boulder is bigger than all boulders. The question is, will you be that little marble and let him keep you? Will you do that? Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he
find faith? Will he find it? Some of the sayings of Jesus are just mind-blowing and worthy of our attention and consideration. Young people, hopefully you will allow God to keep your soul. Older generation, don't grow weary in well-doing. Don't get laxed in your attitude, in your speech, in your adherence to the word and will of God. Middle-aged people, you be strong and you do what's right because it's right to do what's right. And watch God bless the young, the middle-aged, and the older. And let me say this, all of us are needed in church. We need the older generation, and the older generation needs the younger generation, and y'all just put up with us in the middle. We appreciate y'all putting up with us, because we're learning and making a lot of mistakes in the middle, but one day we'll get to where you are, and hopefully we'll have that wisdom that we can help someone who is younger than us. Amen? But the younger has to listen to the older, because Jesus is coming back one day, and he's going to find what he's looking for. I just hope and pray that he finds it in all of us. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be one. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Turn away from sin. Turn to Jesus Christ. How? By repenting. By confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. By being baptized in water for the remission of your sins. That's where faith begins. Because once God washes away all of your sins in the blood of Jesus Christ, your conscience has been cleansed from dead works. Now you can serve the living God. Or maybe a child of God, and well, you haven't been working on your faith. You haven't been contributing to the Lord. And I ain't talking about just money. I'm talking about your time, your effort, your heart, your ways, your life. Will he find faith? Because really it's all about his people, his elect, his chosen, as we stand, as we sing the Savior's invitation.